B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Thoughts about the shoulder that you're having in the red zone. I know it's one of those things you don't like to take three ever. And you have to take three pretty much the first time.
Yeah. I don't have any more. I don't know.
Is there any way to remedy it? Is it just about just practicing and execution?
Yeah, I think that's right. Practice execution.
How would you describe the offense at this point in a year of 10 games?
Up and down, that's what it looks like to me. So, yeah, we'd probably do everything better.
Are you concerned about the offense? Do you feel like it's something that's going to work its way out?
I don't think it matters what I think. It matters what we do.
All right. What is this guy's problem? Still with this.
It feels like it's getting worse.
Still. I am stunned. When he was carrying on like this early in the year, I said, bad look, don't like it, but he'll shake out of it. I've seen him have his little pity parties before, and he, you know, finally gets with the program, and he's fine. They'll be fine. And well, that second piece is right. They'll be fine. They're in great shape. He's still in this place. What is his problem? That was Tom Brady in the postgame. Mumbles there. Mr. Happy. As the Patriots go to 9-1 with what I thought was their best win of the year. And I'm not telling you it was a great game, you know, front to end or, you know, anything to, like, put in the archives or anything. But given how the year has gone, I think this has been, that was their best win. It was a good win. That was a good win against a quality opponent in a tough spot. You are 9-1 and the odds on favorite to win the Super Bowl. You are in first place in your conference. It's all laid out ahead of you. And he is still pissing and moaning after these games. Why? I'm serious. Why? Why?
The coach seems happy.
Why do you think Brady's pissing and moaning?
I mean, you know what my feeling is. Again, it's not as a result of him. He's not happy with the way the offense is playing. So his role in the victories is diminished because of the way, you know, they're playing on both sides of the ball. And that's a hard thing for him to live with.
I mean, so if they win the Super Bowl like that, is he going to come out and help be that same way if they win the Super Bowl?
Probably.
I mean, seriously.
I'm legitimately curious. Like, would he be all pumped up like he has been in the past and holding up the trophy, or is he just going to stand there with his arms crossed?
Right. If I'm asking honestly, if they win like this the rest of the way, is he going to be all grumpy, Gus, after these games? I guess I'd have to go back and see how he was after that Rams game. You know, even though he was a big part of that run, and you know, it didn't look like it looks now. That was a 13-3 ball game, for crying out loud. I'd have to go back and see how he was after the game.
Oh, he was pumped. He was definitely pumped after the Kansas City game.
Sure. They put 38 points on the board or whatever it was. I don't know. What is your problem, man? So this would be the good news answer to my question. Why is he still carrying on like that? Okay? So he would be the best case answer. He's super competitive. He's a perfectionist. He knows they're going to need a better offense to win it all, and he thinks the offense isn't good enough. So, in other words, it's still coming from a team place. I'm only worried about us winning. The only thing I care about is us winning, and this offense isn't good enough to win it all with, and that's why I'm pissed. That would be the best case scenario. Do you believe that that's what's going on?
No. I mean, I think that's part of it, but I think that it's more than that.
I mean, and I doubt it, too. I doubt it, too, because why isn't it good enough? Why isn't it good enough?
I mean, to me, look, I've said all along, I think this is related to his ego. And to me, the definition of ego is not stats or anything of the like. It's about your value to the operation, self-importance. That, to me, that is what your ego is. And so I think he looks at it and says, we don't need me to win these games. We certainly don't need me to hand off three times at the end of the game and put the game in the defense's hands. We don't need that. I think that's, again, I'm not telling you this is a simple one-word answer. I'm telling you that part of it is his ego, part of it is his competitiveness, but he's not as instrumental to the wins as he used to be.
So that's the worst case, I think. That's the worst case explanation, that he's pulling a Dan Marino, and it's not about him, and so he's just acting, you know, selfishly. You know, I've had a hard time, you know, coming around to that, Maz. I have a hard time accepting that because the only thing I've known from him is just about the winning. But all they've done is win 9 out of 10 They are the odds-on favorite to win it all. They're the number one seed in the conference. They're coming off what I think was their best win of the year. If not necessarily the best played game, I'm not saying it was the best played game, but I'm telling you, opponent, location, spot, that Philly's a good team.
I thought it was a pretty ballsy win. That was an old school game.
Right.
That was an old school game.
I don't think Philly's great, but I think they're good. I think Philly's good in big games. I respect that coaching staff. I respect what that team has done in big spots. They're coming off. You're both coming off byes, but they're coming off a bye. They're at home. Desperate team. They needed it more than you. You go down 10-0, and you control the rest of that ball game and pull out. I don't want to say an easy win, but I never felt you were going to lose it.
No, they were in control of the game once they got it under their hand.
I feel good about that win. I feel good about that win.
You should feel good about that win. Again, all in all, that's a tough game to win. It was tough conditions, all the above. You go down there against a team that was also rested just like you were. Like, so there's no advantage to coming off the bye. You go down there with all the residue that's still left over from a couple of years ago, and you fall behind and come back and win the game, and your defense absolutely shuts them down in their own stadium.
Good win.
I mean, I that was an old school Patriots football game. That's what that was. Old school.
Grumpy. Yeah, grumpy Gus there. Oh, poor guy.
I didn't think he could come off worse than the post game and the Bills win earlier in the year. But this
execution.
Yeah, this takes the cake. And what's the parallel? Those were two games won completely by the defense, and Belichick and the Patriots would have been able to win with any quarterback in those.
I don't think it matters what I think.
So he realizes, what am I doing here? I think it's totally what Maz is saying. The ego thing, and he feels like he's just kind of a sidecar.
I was as agitated about him on the field as off.
So, I mean, let's get to that. So, look, as agitated as as bad of a look as I think it is, I think it's a bad look. I don't know how big of a deal it is because I don't think it's going to make him play any worse. It's just an aesthetic. It's like, you can't be happy for the team's success in the place that you're in. You got a good team.
That's just selfish.
Remember the team? So he's acting selfishly or like a baby. I don't think he's not going to make him play any better or any worse. It's really no net impact.
He'd probably do everything better.
It's just, that's what he sounded like. They televised the thing. We listened to the thing. What do you think?
I don't know.
I think he sounds like a baby. Oh, poor kid.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy. 9-1. Best coach in the league. Home field throughout the playoffs. Oh, you're right. They've put you in such a tough spot. Oh, Tommy. Yeah. Poor kid. Oh, well, my God. Can you imagine the position they've put you in? Best coach in the history of the league, 9 out of 10 wins, best defense in the league, home field throughout the playoffs. Can you imagine what they've put, the position they've put you in?
Yeah.
That is thoughts and prayers, seriously. T's and P's. But on the field, do you think he's angry at himself at all? I mean, how do you think he looked? He looked just yesterday. I'm not talking about his season, and I'm not talking about what he's surrounded with. I'm not talking about his career. I'm talking about him yesterday. How do you think he looked?
Pedestrian. Very, very pedestrian. I didn't see anything special. And again, I'm just giving you the game yesterday. I thought he was very, very average.
How many good throws did he have? Name his good throws. Because I asked that question myself this morning. I'm like, I don't remember. So I took a harder look.
There were a couple.
Okay.
Watson, I think, that I remember that was pretty good.
Watson down the hash marks in the second quarter in coverage. And his best ball of the day.
I would say Edelman, the touchdown to Edelman he should have had. That he just was just outstretched the hands of the defender, right? Just beyond the defender.
So the one that he dropped.
Yeah, the one that he dropped.
To me, I only wrote down one other ball. There was a 3rd and 6 in the fourth quarter that he threw to Jacoby Myers, of all people. Oh, my God, you actually threw to Jacoby. And then he ran the wrong way on a fade route a couple plays later, and, well, he's done. But it was a 3rd and 6 that they had to have, and it was tight coverage, and he held it and saw the field and threw it to Jacoby Myers right at the stakes in tight coverage. I think he had, like, two good throws all day.
Yeah.
So when I said I was agitated about him on the field, I meant as much for the reaction on Myers and things like that as anything else. You could see him right then and there say that's it.
Well, he was throwing balls in the dirt. Anything that was real short and trying to set up screens were awful.
He could have had 3 or 4 interceptions down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, he easily could have. He should have had one in the end zone. Threw it right to McLeod. The screen game, you're right. He was either sort of drilling it or the timing was off. I mean,
that
probably do everything better.
That looked all out of whack. Which are you like the easiest throws you can make, you know? Like that was the thing that really stood out to me.
I'm just not sure those are on him. That's all. I just think their line in this, you know, in the screens, their line blows. Their line blows.
Okay, so I mean, I don't know. I wonder if his dissatisfaction at all involves the mirror. I'm just curious.
I
don't know either, Tommy. I mean, good Lord, the flea flicker should have been intercepted. The ball to McLeod in the end zone should have been intercepted.
Yeah, we'd probably do everything better.
The one to McLeod in the end zone, that was a horrible throw. That was just like the one earlier in the year.
Pack's execution.
Okay, I don't know. Is he upset with his little buddy who dropped an easy touchdown in the end zone? Is that on the list? Is that Bill's fault or what they've surrounded you with?
Okay, yeah. He doesn't get mad at him. He doesn't get mad at Edelman.
How about the very first throw of the game? I still can't tell. That was Edelman down the seam. Did Edelman alligator arm that, or did Brady overthrow him?
I don't know.
Either way, the play was there. You blame your coaches, the surrounding cast? The play was open. So either Julian sort of held up on it, or you overthrew him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do we complain about? Rookie receivers, new receivers, what are they surrounding me with? It was Edelman. He was open on the first play. You didn't hook up. He was open in the end zone for a touchdown. He dropped it. So what are you upset about?
I don't know.
Hey, but it's not going to matter. So, like, this is put this in my giant column on the right of things that either piss you off or aren't right or weren't done well but aren't going to matter. It might affect someone else, but it's not like it's going to affect Brady's play. It's just, well, they televised the press conference. We're supposed to listen to them, so I did, and those are my thoughts.
I mean, I will say that given how the game went, you know, the fact that they won down there, for him to come out the way he did, like post-game like that, oh boy, is that's a bad, bad look.
Let me just give you one more that's bothering me, and that's Rob Gronkowski and the way he's going back and forth with this.
Just go away.
Dick move is what this is. Whether he comes back or not, if he comes back, it's a small D. If he doesn't come back, big D. Capital D. What are you doing yanking people around like this? What is this? I mean, it's like, we're all just a party to your game?
It's a marketing ploy. Nothing else. That's all it is.
But that is like, I understand a little bit of that, but now to really string people along like this, and I say even if he comes back, it's like, oh, isn't this, boy, isn't one big fun game for you, big fella, huh? Like, do you want to play ball or not?
I told you I was going to hate this. I told you I was going to hate this.
Or you're just going to yank it. You're just going to yank it back and forth in front of Patriots fans for 2 months. Like, if I were a fan, I'd be annoyed. If I were the team, I'd be annoyed.
I think people have finally gotten there. It took them too long. You could see this thing coming from a mile away.
Even if he comes back, it's like, this is how you do it? With this, like, what is this? Do you want to play ball or not, Rob? Do you want to report and be a Patriot and play or not? Or you just want to dink around on your Instagram? You know, was one of them a picture of him spiking it and he went, does this still work? Do you want to play ball? Or is this, are you just jacking around out there, or are you serious about this?
He's not serious about it. He's jacking around. He's jacking around. Of course he's jacking around.
Good Lord. That bugs me. I think the team's in great shape. Okay? I think the team's in great shape. I think that was a great bounce back win. I thought that was their best win of the year. I think it was hugely encouraging that the defense turned around and showed what they were in the first 8 games of the year. Huge development to me. That the Baltimore game wasn't a sign of things to come in the bad direction. They got it right back after they found themselves down 10-0. Okay, after Bill let into them, they figured it out, and so there's the defense. You can win on defense. That's okay. I've never said you couldn't. So win on defense. They have the best record in the league. They're the home team for the AFC for the balance of the playoffs if things end the way they are right now. So I think they're in great shape. I thought that was a great win. But Gronkowski, I'm sorry, the way he's doing this, dick move. And Brady, seriously, what is your problem? What is your problem? It's gone on much longer than I thought it would. Those are my opening thoughts. What are yours? To the calls right after this.
Yeah, we'd probably do everything better.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wentz takes the snap. Final play barring a penalty. Wentz moves up, starts to feel some pressure. He's hit as he throws it deep downfield. That ball is going to be batted down nice from shot. The 5-yard line to end the game in Philadelphia.
Nice effort.
And the Patriots will prevail after falling behind by a 10-0 score. And there's 17 unanswered points lift them to their 9th victory overall this year.
Hey, all your thoughts from the game, all your stuff surrounding the game, all up to you. 617-779-0985. We have a new system here in the studio, new technology, so you may have to work with us on this just a little bit, but we'll give it a shot here to lead off. Greg in the truck, what do you got, Greg? How we doing? Jimmy's up. Greg in the truck. Okay. No good. How about, let's try this. Joe in Lincoln. Joe, what do you got?
How you doing?
Good.
You hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think the reason Brady isn't happy is because he's not playing very well. It's real simple. I mean, it just did not look like Tom Brady. He threw, I think Mike had at least 3 balls that could have been and or should have been intercepted. Missed a wide open receiver going down. You know, there could have been a big gain on the right side. And just generally looked frustrated and nothing like the Tom Brady I know from the good Tom Brady.
So he's upset with himself. I hope you're right. You know, I mean, so like that would be another, to me, best case scenario. Okay, so his piss poor attitude would be good news if it's just purely he's just worried about the team and he thinks the team can't win with the offense as it is and he's worried about it just purely from a team standpoint. That would be fine. If he's turning the attention to himself, that would be fine. Ish. Do you get the sense that he is?
No. No, again, I don't. I mean, again, you know, there are times when Brady plays poorly and he acknowledges it. Go back to the AFC title game in 2011, played against the Ravens, and he stood there on the open mic in the middle of the stadium and he said, "I suck today." I don't see any of that. Do you?
No, I don't.
I don't feel like he's saying I'm doing this wrong. What I hear from him more and more is I've got the answers to the tests. And I don't need to practice as much as I used to practice in the past. And I'm giving you paraphrased summaries here. But I think Brady's frustration is with the pieces around him. That's what I think it is. And I say the receivers, the line, all of it. He looks at it and says, how am I supposed to succeed with this? How's this supposed to work?
I also think they were closer to having a decent offensive day than he does. I mean, so they had the 3 red zone drives in the first half that ended in field goals. One of them, his little buddy dropped it. So if Edelman catches it, there's 4 more points. Okay, instead of 17, now you're at 21 for the day. I thought they had some moments where the offense contributed to the win. Down 10-0, they drove down and got points. That was a big boy drive. That was an important drive. On that drive, they picked up a 2nd and 10 with a 12-yard ball to Edelman. They picked up another 2nd and 10 on an 11-yard slant to N'Keal Harry. There you go, Tommy. He can catch it, throw it to the kid. Okay, that was a big pickup.
Yeah.
Then they threw that double pass that was almost picked off. But then they were facing a 3rd and 10, and they get Ben Watson wide open going between the hash marks. The blown coverage on Philly, but that was schemed up. They got him wide open. They got Watson for a big gain right down the middle of the field. Then they got another 3rd and 10 on that drive, and Edelman drew a flag with the PI. So they moved the ball. They came through on that drive, and then they get in the red zone. And I'm sorry, go back and look at how that drive stalled. First down at the 20, Brady misses Michelle in the flat. And then the very next play, he threw a little slant or in cut to Sanu that he threw right on top of his toenails.
Yeah, he did. Reach down for that one.
And Sanu caught it, and it was a 3-yard game. But if he puts it on him, maybe there's some yards after the catch, or there's he breaks a tackle or something. He gave Sanu no chance because he drilled it right at his feet. And so now you're 3rd and 7 or whatever, and they don't pick it up. But Brady missed the first 2 throws of that sequence right there. So who's he pissed at?
Yeah, I told you. I think to me, his frustration is about, look at what I'm working with. That's what I think it is. I mean, there's no way to prove that, but that's what it feels like to me. The other thing is they get into the red zone 3 times. The first 3 times they get 3 field goals. Isn't this why N'Keal Harry is supposed to be in the offense?
So they don't even play him in the red zone.
I mean, what's the deal there? I thought the whole point of having a big receiver was to throw to him in the red zone. I thought that was the whole freaking point.
Trust is hard-earned down there, Maz. So he's not, there's no trust.
I mean, so that part of it was frustrating. But, you know, for a team built on defense, they had to get on. They had to win that game on defense yesterday, and they did.
Good win.
I'm okay with that.
And I thought the offense came through more than people are giving it credit for. Paul in Hanover, your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I think Brady's grumpy for a couple of reasons. The stats this year affect his legacy and the TB12 marketing power. Plus, I think more importantly, his stats this year affect his negotiating position at the end of the season with the Patriots or whomever.
So those are selfish concerns, which would be bad news, which would be a bad case scenario. Totally likely. And maybe, you know, so my answer is that I think it's a combination of all this, but I think he had it in his head the way his last year or his free agent year was going to be. He was going to be an MVP contender. And I think that's how he wanted to go out, either go out of the Patriots or go out of the league. You know, whatever we're looking at here for Brady, and it hasn't materialized. And so that is selfish. And I'm just surprised he's not over it yet. I'm surprised that the team's success doesn't come through with him. I'm not sensing his pride in the team's success.
Well, because again, coming out of the bye, you thought there might be some sort of, you know, at the very least, I'll use the word epiphany. Like there should have been some understanding of where they are and where they're going. That's the part I find frustrating for a guy who's been in the league 20 years.
Well, so by the way, does it impact his markability? Maybe.
See, I don't think it does.
Okay, so I don't, but at least you could say that case. That say, you know, well, he looks more 42 than he's ever looked 42. Okay? And so, maybe. But what I don't think it impacts one iota is his free agent marketability. If you're a team that thinks you're short a quarterback, and you've got everything else in place, the Bears, the Chargers, the Rams, I don't know, name the team. You're in a big market that has the money and has everything but a quarterback. You are paying Tom Brady through the nose. Whether he is a top five quarterback statistically, top five quarterback, or a top 15 quarterback, right?
Oh, without question.
Unless he gets hurt, if I'm the Chargers, I'm giving him the whole franchise next year. No matter what he looked like yesterday, unless he gets hurt.
Yeah, because I think anybody in the NFL with half a brain will look at Brady and say, well, come on. You know, there's not a lot of this that's his fault, at least in terms of the talent around him. So they would recognize that he can still help them win and help a lot.
If it's a team that's trying to build buzz like the LA Chargers, it's moot anyway. It doesn't matter if he's having a game consistently like yesterday. You're going to sign that guy and give him, like, you know, $30 million guaranteed per year.
Agreed.
Because he's going to put asses in seats. It's Tom Brady.
So why is Tom so upset? Fred in Norwood, why is he so upset?
I personally think that he really does want to play for a few more years, and he knows that he can't and won't if he's going to be playing like this, and he's bummed out. I think he thinks that his career is not going to end on his terms.
So, I get that second thing, and maybe you're right about the first, that it's going to impact his ability to keep playing. I don't think so. I don't think so. If I were the New York Giants, I would fire the entire building, and I would turn it. I said, Brady, you can live in Soho, you can live in Greenwich, you can do all your New York crap. We'll put the kid behind you for a couple of years. You pick your call. I mean, like, if I were another team in the league, and I don't care that Brady didn't play well yesterday or is looking more his age, he still has a lot left in him, and I do not think it's going to impact his market. I don't. But here they are, 9-1, which, coming off of what I think is arguably their biggest win of the year, best win of the year. They're home for the playoffs, number one seed, odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. Headlines in the Globe. Brady despondent, angry. Brady looks like a beaten man. Gasper's column. Brady fuming. Patriots quarterback fuming over an offense reduced to gimmicks and trick plays. Fuming. And Gasper isn't wrong. In a funereal?
Yeah, funereal, yeah.
Funereal?
Yeah, funeral-like environment.
So I was assuming that's what it was, but you never know with Gasparino.
Well, I know. I had to look up another word that he used today, too.
In a funereal and fuming post-game press conference, an irritable Brady spoke few words, but his demeanor spoke volumes about the Patriots' offense. So he's fuming after their ninth win out of 10 games, arguably their best win of the year. That's just a mediocre look. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sanders to the left of Wentz. Patriots blitz. Are going to send the blitz. Matthews off. Wentz off the back foot. Throws to the end zone for Aguilar. He's open.
No,
in the back of the end zone. He can't
it.
Hold on. Ball knocked incomplete. J.C. Jackson recovering. And Wentz backing up. Throwing deep to the end zone. For the Patriots in an all-out blitz. And the pass. Karam's incomplete. And Aguilar is limping. In the back of the end zone.
Boy, that's what they did to end the Rams' threat in the Super Bowl. You send that backside safety. You force the throw off the back foot. It's one heck of a throw by Wentz, actually, to even give Aguilar a chance at this thing at the back end line. And it's over the top of J.C. Jackson. He just can't concentrate enough to look it in over the other shoulder. He had a chance at it. That's a hell of a throw by Wentz.
All right, so that play effectively ended it. Start off talking about Brady and his attitude. I mean, the story of the team is that you're the best team in football coming off your best win of the year. And the quarterback's all pissy about it. So that's how we started. But we've got a million other game thoughts. Maz, where would you start?
Look, overall, I think that was a pretty gritty win. That's a hard game to win going down there. Both teams coming off a bye, lousy conditions. The Eagles have a division title to play for. Like, you know, that's a tough spot. That's a good team with a lot of talent that rises to the occasion, that has a coach that has some balls. So to me, you know, the defense being able to pick up where it left off is a great sign.
Good win.
That's the only way you were going to win that game yesterday was to win it on defense. That's the only way you were going to win that game. Similar to the game in Baltimore in some ways, and the defense let him down. So the defense answered yesterday. That's a good sign. I mean, that restored my faith in that group a little bit. Because after the Baltimore game, I looked at it and said, man, they played such garbage. How do you know? How do you know? And at least yesterday they answered.
And as good as the defense was, the Eagles helped you. I mean, the way that this game played out, like, they played right into your hands. What's the best part of the Patriots defense? The secondary. And Doug Peterson had Carson Wentz throw 40 times yesterday. And I know they're decimated at running back, too. But, I don't know, can't you emphasize the run game a little bit more? I think you'd give yourself more of a chance of trying to throw 40 times on the Patriots secondary when you have maybe the worst wide receiver core in the NFL, considering how many injuries you have. And they had to go sign Jordan Matthews a couple of days ago.
I'm with Murray on this.
So I think that they've kind of played into the Patriots' hands. And good, I'm glad that it worked out that way. But I don't know. I lost a little respect for Doug Peterson. This was a guy that I'm with you, Mike. Like, ooh, that guy knows how to beat you. You give him an extra week like you had in the Super Bowl. I think this is going to be a tougher game yesterday. This guy has all kinds of offensive tricks up his sleeve. No, I just think he's just another dummy. Because having Carson Wentz throw 40 times yesterday with those wide receivers, that completely helped you out.
Yeah, again, on that scoring drive the Eagles had, the touchdown drive, 95 yards on 16 plays. They ran it 6 times for 28 yards on that drive. They were getting 4 or 5 every time they handed it off. Now, there was nothing spectacular about it, but I was impressed by the consistency of the drive. Because how many teams does Belichick dare to try to put it together and go down the field, and they can't? And Philly did. 6 times they ran, almost 5 yards a pop. They completed short passes. They took what the Patriots gave them, and they scored. They ran it 2 times the rest of the half. 2 times. Now, look, they had a turnover in there because Wentz fumbled the ball away. So I do think Philly sort of bought into it. Peterson wanted to throw yesterday. It was a mistake.
To me, I think the momentum turned in that game, and it turned quick. What I would be most disappointed with the Eagles is I just think – after the Patriots' long drive, just to get to 10-3, but it came right after the Eagles went up 10-0. The Patriots responded with that drive that I just sort of went over, where they converted some third downs, got a penalty on a double move by Edelman, and got 3 points. For some reason, that rattled the Eagles. The very next kickoff, the dude fumbles it twice and kicks it like 10 yards into the bench. And it was like, oy. They go 3 and out there. Then the next possession, Wentz fumbles on the second play. And it's like, boy, that didn't take much for you to get rattled. It was a field goal drive. You gave up a field goal to the Patriots, but all of a sudden, I felt like inside of those 5 minutes, the whole game changed.
Yeah, it got really bad in the second half, too. I mean, there were some plays there where Wentz looked really rattled to me. And then the punter kicked it off the side of his foot. You remember that?
Oh, God, horrible.
Oh, my God.
Duck hook.
Yeah, I saw that, and I said, here you go. Now they're cracking. The Eagles are cracking.
Mass Patriots defense.
Tremendous. Excellent. Now, again, that drive where the Eagles went 95 yards, I thought, wow, that's impressive. And I thought, boy, what a bad sign. Here you go. Teams are running on him again. They're getting the 4 or 5 up the middle every time. And then Belichick called the little huddle on the sideline there, aired him out. Philly stopped running the ball, and the Patriots smothered them. Smothered them. I thought that they were tremendous. Again, they're going to have to win games this way against good teams because they're not putting up 30 anymore. It's not happening.
So after that sideline huddle, I'm reading from the Globe, the Eagles did not score in their next 8 possessions, resulting in 7 punts and a lost fumble. At one point, the Eagles gained just 21 total yards in their 21 plays following their touchdown.
Incredible.
So that this is like, you know, that Pat's defense obviously deserves credit for that, for making whatever adjustment they made. But I also just feel like sort of momentum. Like, the Patriots scored a field goal on their next drive, too, and I just feel like it unnerved the Eagles for some reason. They were just field goals. They were still in command.
Yeah, I didn't feel that. The fumble on the kickoff, I was like, holy crap, you got to be kidding me. As soon as he bobbled it at the beginning, because how many times do you see that? Somebody mishandles a kick, picks it up and starts running, they haven't secured the ball. Out it comes, and now, in this case, the guy got lucky. I mean, he ended up kicking it out of bounds, and then Bailey couldn't recover it. They were on the sideline. So they got lucky. They held on to the ball. I thought the Eagles really started to crack in the second half. I mean, again, that punt, when I saw that, I went, oh, boy, here we go. Now they can't even. Keith's lucky he didn't miss it entirely. Like, when I saw that, I said, there you go. They're done.
Who was the player of the game for the Patriots?
I thought it was Terrence Brooks. I mean, am I nuts to say that?
No, again, he had a good game.
I thought he was terrific in the secondary. And again, in coverage, tackling, I liked him in the preseason. He looks to me like he plays with a motor. I mean, he's constantly hounding the ball, hawking it. So I thought Brooks was really, really good. To me, he was the best player on the defense yesterday.
I thought you were going to go Bailey on me there.
Well, I mean,
he was awesome.
I didn't love the one bad punt.
He had one bad punt.
I know, and look, I'm nitpicking. But again, you know, I come back to the same thing I said earlier in the year. Who drafts a punter? A team that expects to punt. That's who. And I think Belichick had some inkling that he had to be prepared this year if the offense wasn't great. He had to be prepared for it. And so he's got a and I'm not saying he thought the offense was going to suck. I'm saying he safeguarded it. And so he got himself a defense and a punter, because that's all that thing was yesterday. Right? You can't score. You punt, you pin him back, 3 and out, they punt it back, you move a little closer. That's what the whole game was.
Would you like to, I don't know what this is, because you've got a take retraction on your Sony Michel sucks and blows, he's horrible take. You sort of took that back.
I'm going to retract the retraction.
This is what I'm asking. So how do you reinstate? You want a reinstatement?
Oh, God, does he smell? Wow, does he blow? Really? I mean, and I'm talking about if he could catch a pass. Be some sort of...
So you're back to sucks and blows. He's terrible.
I think he's so ordinary, it isn't even funny. The fact that they used a first-round pick on him is almost as bad as being stripped of it in a scandal.
Yeah, you didn't even get the benefit of cheating. I mean, with the Sony Michel.
Well, right, and you didn't have to pay the guy. Like, on top of it, when you look at it that way, you say Spygate, Deflategate, you lost a first-round pick, but at least you didn't have to pay the salary.
Yeah.
In this case, you got it on an ordinary player, and you have to pay him like a first-round pick? Am I wrong? About Michel?
No, he's pedestrian at best.
Just a guy.
Oh, really? I mean, it is. And Brady's had it with him, too. Brady threw it right in his hands yesterday, and he flipped it almost.
Or should have been an interception.
It was horrendous. Horrendous. It's like, it's bad enough that you're going to drop it or turn the wrong way. Now you're going to try to give it to the other team on top of it. Honestly, I'm surprised that at the end of the game, Belichick elected to hand it off to him.
Yeah, he actually had a good gain there at the end. I think he ripped off like a 12-yard gain at one point at the end.
But I wouldn't have trusted him with the ball. I wouldn't have trusted him with it. That would have been white, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Like, if you're going to just look to protect the ball at the end of the game, I'm putting it in James White's hand.
Okay.
I was surprised by that.
There's some more of your game thoughts there on top of the pouty quarterback, which we'll get back to with you in our long commercial-free segment.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And now you have to have some cool play. The problem is all the cool plays take time. So usually there's some sort of screen, although you've ran a bunch of them now. They're going to be prepared for that, so it's a really dicey spot for Josh McDaniels. He's going to have some motion. You see Edelman sprint across, and you'll see something. They always have something unique on something like this.
Over to Edelman. He's loading up to throw it.
Going to the end zone, and it's a touchdown. Edelman with the touchdown pass to Philip Dorsett.
So that was that double pass touchdown. Romo called it. Which is amazing. He sees it. He saw it coming. The Eagles don't. Yeah, you know, it's like
too close.
Yeah, is that it?
I think that's a big part of it. I think sometimes you're in the middle of it, you don't see it. It's like, you know, you can sort of predict what the next action and reaction is going to be. And look, I mean, McDaniels nailed that one, because I think the Eagles, particularly under Schwartz, they're aggressive. They're aggressive. So anytime you can, you know, run a double pass or a flea flick or some sort of trick play, I think it's got a greater potential to work because they're overcommitted usually. I just think that's the Nate. That's, you know, that I think a lot of that is Belichick knowing Schwartz.
Here's Belichick post game on that play.
Kansas quarterback rating up there pretty high. So I'm sure we'll have to ice his shoulder down this week and massage it and everything else. But that was a great play by Julian. Really, you know, there were, like you said, a couple options on the play. You know, a lot of ball handling involved there, but, you know, he got his eyes downfield, made a good decision, made a good throw, and, you know, it's a big catch by Phil.
Belichick was 10 times happier about the play than Brady. 10 times.
I mean, it was an interesting contrast, the two of them, right? All of a sudden, Bill's cracking jokes up there.
But it's people are almost treating that play as like almost derisively. Like, they had to run all these trick plays to score. Instead of saying, what a brilliant call that was. What a tremendous call.
Well,
it was third and 11. Nothing was happening. It's the only way you were going to score. And they dialed one up. Like, no, that play was a good thing, not a bad thing. But you don't just sense people treating it like a bad thing?
Well, I
like
think
that's what it took to score. I'm sorry.
But don't you think it is a little indicative of where they are?
Yeah, but
Mike, we've been conditioned for years that there's no other player that should throw other than Tom Brady, and now Edelman is throwing. So where's the offense at?
It was a good team play. It was a good call, good play, got you in the end zone. You know, it's good. It's a positive thing, not a negative thing.
Well, the other thing is it was the second one, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you start, I mean, usually when they start running trick plays and they can't score, we did this last year, we sit there and say, well, they have to resort to this. They did it against Green Bay because they couldn't score. They couldn't move the ball. And now they can't run it either. So now look, I'm not sitting here telling you that it's a bad sign. I'm not going that far, but I think that they're going to have to get creative now to come up with ways to score touchdowns
on the road, nationally televised 4 p.m. game against a good team that had a week off. Would you think you were just going to waltz in? I mean, I know there's a lot of games like that, so maybe we're just spoiled because there's just so many games where you just waltz. You're just waltzing the whole game. I have respect for the Eagles as an opponent, as a coaching staff, even if, you know, Wentz has lost his way a little bit or the coach had a bad day. I generally have respect for that Eagles operation. And they're at home. They were the desperate team, and you choked them out. That's a good win. Feel good about it. You're not going to just be, you know, moonwalking backwards for 35 points every week. All right, back to your phones, as promised. Mike and Peabody. Hi, Michael.
My God, Tom Brady, is the sky falling or what? This
seriously.
That's terrible. Maz, pedestrian. I mean, I think that's generous. I thought he was putrid. I mean, the only touchdown that was scored was thrown by a wide receiver. I mean, maybe Tom's got a point. It's bad, but, I mean, Jesus, I've never felt so bad after listening to Tom Brady at his press conference about being 9-1.
Seriously, 9-1.
So, Mike, he should have had a touchdown. I meant Mike the caller. He should have had a touchdown pass. Edelman dropped it. Okay, so, and look, I'm not telling you, you know, I say pedestrian because I think a lot of the problems aren't him. I'm not telling you he was great yesterday. I also don't, you know, how many guys did he have to throw to yesterday? Sanu, useless. Useless in that game yesterday. Useless. So he had one guy to throw to who could get any sort of separation on his own. One. That's it. Edelman. So I I'm not defending Brady because I thought his attitude after the game sucked. I think his attitude has sucked pretty much all year, if you want to know the truth. But I also don't think he's the problem.
But he's got to get the body language and the whole demeanor under control. I mean, this is
true.
I believe me, I'd like to try to defend it. Obviously, Gasper is trying to do that in the Globe. I can't do it. I mean, that yesterday, that's a good win. And he acted like someone shot his dog in front of him.
Yes, yeah. Yesterday, I do think he was part of the problem. Just yesterday. I'm not telling you he's a problem with the offense, like, overall. But some of the red zone problems were his problems. I'm telling you, that first drive down there, it stalls at the 20. Brady missed Michelle in the flat on first down. Then he drilled it at Sanu's shoes on second down. That only went for 3 yards. And it could have gone for more if he gave him a chance to run after the catch. He didn't. And then on third, then no one was open. He had to throw it away. The next drive, he almost threw an end zone interception, and then his little buddy dropped one. So, like, is that on the GM? Is that on Bill? Is that on what you're surrounded by? No.
The one that should have been picked was a garbage throw.
Yeah, so what, I mean.
That was a garbage throw.
But I still think the offense came through more than people are giving it credit for. The first two field goal drives were important, and they converted third downs to get down there, and it helped change the momentum of the game. And some of the problems were not systemic, meaning some of your problems, of course, are because Brady's not surrounded by much, or the left tackle problem, or the offensive line isn't blocked. Like, I get some of that. I get a lot of that. But there were still plays to be made there that he didn't make.
True. I also think that he's terrified of his own line right now. I think that that's a big part of it. I think that he doesn't trust it. He doesn't trust the line. So any sort of play that's going to take a little while, he's afraid he's going to get his head knocked off.
Mike and Melrose, go.
Felger, I'm getting real, real tired of Brady's act. He's starting to sound and remind me a lot of LeBron. He's a whiny little girl in all his press conferences with these little cryptic calling out his teammates. And he isn't that good anymore. He was inaccurate yesterday, missing throws. We would be in the same spot with Stidham right now. We don't need him anymore.
Okay, little strong. Little strong, Michael. Let's not go too far. I would tell you, though, that if he's upset with what he's been surrounded by, that he needs a reality check. Because he's surrounded with the best team in the league and the best coach in the league with the best defense in the league that's 9-1 and should have home field throughout the playoffs. That's a pretty decent spot to be in, Tommy. That's okay. Okay? That's fine. And if you're upset about yesterday, then hit your running back out of the backfield or don't drill it at Sanu's shoes or tell your little buddy to come up with the ball when you put it right on him in the end zone. So you can be upset about those things too as opposed to the rookie receivers they've put you with or the turnstile at left tackle. It's not all on that. So, bad look. Another bad look is Rob Gronkowski dinking around. Do you want to play ball or not? Are you serious or not? And, I mean, I'm sure he's told the team his real intentions, so, you know, this probably doesn't apply, but I'd be agitated if I were the team or a real fan. Like, you're just going to screw around with us? You're just playing around.
I feel like he did it to the Patriots in the spring. He couldn't decide whether or not he wanted to play and cost him a tight end.
Even if he's coming back, is this how you do it? With this clown show back and forth? Are you serious or not? So let's pick that up on the other side. After Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.